Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Hi, this is Ben McKay from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean.
Thank you, Ben McKay. Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas or on Instagram at Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. Before I start the podcast today and get the boys on, I want to give a shout out to Dave Mullen, who has created his own beer, which I'm sure you have seen on social media. It's called Ice Bath Lager, which is obviously a reference to the player that left us for Port Adelaide. David is going to be kind enough to send me a box of the good stuff. And if you want a box or a carton, then check out buybeerhere.com.au. So that's buybeerhere.com.au. And just type in Ice Bath and you'll find it. It's got a big picture of you-know-who, and you are supporting a North supporter as well. 4.25% alcohol, which is mid-strength, and if we beat Port Adelaide, I think I'll be chugging a beer like Stone Cold Steve Austin if we can cause a boil over. Also, check out White Label Brewing. .com.au, which offers the opportunity to businesses to custom brand their own beer with their own logo and company branding. So if you fancy yourself as someone that can make a good drop and need a hand with branding, then contact Dave at sales@whitelabelbrewing.com.au. So if you have any questions, send him an email. And if you want a carton and have a bit of fun, then go to buybeerhere.com.au/product/icebath. You can make a bit of fun out of it. You can make a game. You can have a beer every time Kane Turner gets a possession, which probably won't be often. Just kidding, Kane, if you are listening. So thank you, Dave, for that. So we'll get on with the show. So today I'm joined by the usual lads in Jesse, Frank and Mark to dissect another big loss over the weekend. What do we make of Alistair Clarkson saying after the game that he is pretty much looking at blood young kids through if we're going to lose by 15 goals? How much of a loss was LDU against the D's star-studded midfield? Do we work hard enough, like Kane Cord said, where he had pretty damning footage of players going a bit half-hearted? There was plenty to discuss, so let's not waste time and bring on the boys right now. All right, boys, welcome back. There's a lot to go through once again, and we may as well start where Kane Corns had some footage. I don't want to start with him, but he did have some footage of players like Zerha giving a half chase, Griffin Logue not really putting enough pressure in the first 10 minutes of the game, Christian Petrarca walking into an easy goal in the third quarter. Mark, are we actually trying out there?
Well, that's a very good question, and I reckon North supporters generally have answered it one way. Some would have answered it a certain way on Saturday night and then kept answering it that way through most of Sunday. And if you're like me, you started changing your mind through the last two or three days. And probably, I was very upset seeing Charlie Coleman get injured like that amongst other players that got injured. No one ever likes seeing that. So, one, you're five or six goals down. One of your young, you know, potential stars of the future looks like he's done serious damage to himself that could see him out for a year or longer, given his history in particular. So, and then, and you see the team lose by 15 goals in an, you know, at one stage it was going to be 20 if they hadn't kicked those last few goals of the game. And I'll be honest with you, I stopped watching after Charlie got injured and we were six goals down because I just could see. I could see after the first two or three minutes where it felt like it was heading. The players looked disorientated and flat. But It was Joey Montagna, listening to him. To me, he's the best analyst of the game at the moment in terms of just calm. He's never interested. He's the absolute opposite of Kane Corns. Has no interest in blowing up story and trying to make a huge statement for the sake of making a big statement. But in a way, he makes a big statement by going against what seems obvious to everyone else. So Mark Robinson, Gary Lyon, Corns will say North weren't trying and da-da-da-da-da. And he came out very calmly and said, no, they haven't learnt the modern game for the last couple of years. And Clarko's teaching them something that would feel very complicated to that group, and it's going to take 6 or 7 more weeks before it starts to bed in. But he said it's not that far. It's not anywhere near as far off as it looks. And you know, Ricky, as you have, you know, your our mate that's on the show all the time, Dean said something similar in his report, and you look at that and you go, well, that's unemotional, intelligent thinking, and I'm emotional and being very unintelligent because I'm just angry we're losing. Losing badly again like we did last year, and I feel like there's too many old guys playing, so I want to vent about it. But the reality is that's probably true, and if you look at what Clarko did in 2005, and again another smart person who understands this calmly, Luke Hodge said that's exactly where we were. We had to understand the new game plan. It took a long, you know, it took most of that first year for us to get it, but then the growth gets a lot faster. And I think as supporters, that's unfortunately what we're going to have to live with this year. I think we got too excited with Clarko coming in, and then we see the first two wins of the year. I think miracles are going to happen. I'm no different to anyone else like that. I think we just probably have to sit back, and you said it in your Hangover Sunday show, that we probably do need to stop looking at the scoreboard, and I think that's right. The only thing I disagree about is I think he's gone a bit too long with too many of the older guys that I don't, not all of the older guys, but a couple of them, two or three of them, I think, that aren't going to be there for our next final still. It is time to play kids, and I think he realises that himself now. But so the emotions change a lot, to answer your question, over about 15 minutes. But I feel like I'm just going to have to be patient, and I'm going to have to trust in Clarkson, and I think all of us will benefit from that. I think he can't be held to blame for what's happened for the previous 3 years. He's introducing a game plan that he won't veer from for the next 18 months plus, you know, permanently, and apart from adding layers to it. And the young kids just, you know, that group hasn't been exposed to this level of training before in terms of game plan. So, yeah, it sucks because we've had 3 or 4 years of rubbish, and, you know, we're all worried about you know, keeping the list together and all of those sorts of things. And I think we're probably going to have to ignore a lot of the media for a while because we'd like to stick it up, people. I certainly would. But, yeah, I think we're on the right track, and we're just going to have to – we've got him for 5 years on $1 million a year anyway, so we don't have a choice, by the way. But I think there's a reason we've signed him for that long. He's one of the best coaches of the modern era, and his ability to coach hasn't gone anywhere. So what might look like a problem – and it feels like it when you lose by that much, I think long-term we'll be okay. We're just going to have to get through this season, and I think after that things will get better. In fact, I think the last 6 or 7 rounds of this season, we'll suddenly see a big improvement, and then things will get better from there.
Yeah, that was a very long-winded answer there, Mark.
Sorry, Dino.
Frank and Jesse, thanks for coming on the show. That's all we've got to
thanks, mate.
I'm just joking, Mark. No, that was a very thoughtful answer, and sounds like you've calmed down with your emotions the last couple of days, so that's good to hear. What about you, Frank? We've seen a lot of reactive football last few weeks. Do you think the effort is there?
Dean, I think the effort's there, but it's not there for long enough or hard enough. So I saw that footage that Kane Corns put up there as well, but you could probably find the equal amount of footage of all those players committing themselves to a contest or to the ball. But the problem is we're just not going hard enough for long enough. And good sides, particularly Melbourne, sometimes even your best isn't good enough. And when you don't bring on Saturday night, just too many people deciding when to go and when not to go.
Good answer as well. Jesse, I think there's no doubt that we are a slow team, and when the ball goes on the outside, we can't seem to keep up with teams, especially in the middle. 10-3-63, Melbourne scored from stoppages. I think we kicked 9 points. Do we have a midfield that is strong enough right now?
I think the main issue with our midfield is its diversity. I think one thing we tend to do is put a midfield in there that are all players that are very much alike each other. If you look at some, you know, in Melbourne, I think it was one of the first bounces of, it might have been the first bounce of the game, Cozzy Pickett was in there. So obviously they can do that as an established team, but what they're able to do is put players in there who add a different dynamic. we haven't had consistency in the midfield since the first few rounds of the season. Simkin being suspended, Simkin being injured, LDU being injured. So with those two not getting consistent footy alongside one another, it is really hurting us because Cunners had a good game on stats, but I would argue it wasn't necessarily the most effective game in terms of his output. It was good statistically, but it didn't hurt the opposition, I should say. And the other bit, Powell is in terrible form. I know he's injured at the moment, but he's not in great form. He was the first few weeks of the season. I think what's happening is because Simkin and LDU as our two primary midfielders aren't there consistently, it's putting the burden on Phillips, who I know wasn't there, Powell, etc., and they're not ready just yet to take that on. I don't mind Zerha in there, like I've said before, but it deducts from our forward line. I think the main issue with our midfield is we just seem one-paced. Zerha in there adds a little bit more of burst, able to hit the player, hit the man, adds a bit more pressure around the ball. LDU is able to burst from the stoppage when he's there. But if LDU is not there, we don't necessarily have a line breaker, someone who can get the ball and run with it. Simkin has a great sidestep, but the midfield, we have a lot of midfield depth, but they're all players who are very much like each other. You know, not having Taran there or that type of player who is very silky is hurting us a fair bit at the moment. And look, as you said, we are looking slow, even all across the field. You know, we've spoke about at length the last couple of years that our forward line doesn't add enough pressure, so the ball comes out of there quickly. Our back line isn't firing at the moment. They're not playing particularly well individually. So when the ball does get up there, they're easy to score against. And our midfield looks one-paced. So it's a difficult situation to be with, but I think the other two guys have summed it up pretty well.
Yeah, definitely, especially Mark. So, there's a lot of points. I think, Mark, I'll ask you this. How do you think the back line went this week? I know we conceded a big score, but the ball was coming in through the midfield far too easy, which made it an impossible task. Core had 18 touches with 5 intercepts and was trying to get into that contest by being third man up this week. I thought it was a good bounce back this week from him. And even Mackay, I think, had a good second half. Am I being too generous with that?
Well, we lost by 15 goals, so you'd have to say you're being a little bit generous.
Yeah. I'm trying to be optimistic and look for the positives here, so you're making it hard.
But that said, there were some positive signs from Mackay, and I've come back and watched, on your recommendation, watched the third quarter from your Sunday podcast. And yes, there are signs that the backline is starting to understand things a little bit better. My big concern is I still, and I said this last week, so I don't bore everyone with the same comment, but the three talls and Zeeble and then McDonald leaves you with Sheasel as the only running player coming out of the back line. We're talking about lack of speed. I mean, and I know a lot of number of supporters, including me, kept banging on about Goeder and Bergman, and they're injured and illness at the moment, so that's not a magic wand you can wave and fix anyway. But I just think we looked more dynamic out of our back line early in the year when we had those two in there, and we're now looking a bit stagnant and slow. And Sheasel's a great, I mean, he's a genius for his age. He's a freak. And did well again on the weekend in very difficult circumstances. So he's proving he's not a front runner, by the way. But he's a great distributor and he's a brilliant footy mind, but he's not necessarily super quick. And he can't be relied on for that anyway at this stage of his career. And at some point, you know, I think he'll end up playing forward or as a midfielder. But so I just think they're going to have a better balance in their back line. I don't know whether that means Bonner should be in there or... but they've just got Hall obviously was running through there on the weekend and got quite a few disposals but turned it over. So, there's one thing for us to... I think long-term, Logan Mackay will sort things out and we won't keep getting outmarked enough in our back half. I think, you know, those two are too good for that. And I hope, you know, obviously we keep Mackay long-term and if we don't, we'll have to find a replacement for him. But I do think Dawson needs to get tried at some point. I mean, we brought him in and we played him quite a few games last year. He looked a good prospect to me. We're going to have to find out whether he's up to it. I want to see Archer in that side sooner or later because I think he's going to be our best lockdown on small defenders. And he's quick. He can run all day, and he's, you know, as desperate as his father was, which is saying something. So I think he's better suited to AFL than VFL. He was last year. He didn't get a kick in the VFL last year. They put him up to AFL. He's in our best. So I hope he gets a game soon. But, I mean, it's not that easy, obviously, just to run people out. So I think the backline thing, yeah, I agree with you. The positivity around the tools, I think, is absolutely reasonable. I think Logan Mackay, quality players. I think that'll be fine. Luke McDonald busts his guts every week. I've never got an issue with him. Jay-Z's had a great season. My only issue is I'm not sure about Core and him both playing in the same side at the moment because it's just making our overall backline seem out of whack and a bit too slow. But smarter people than me understand that better. That's just from watching it on TV, it looks that way.
Yeah, fair enough. Frank, what do you make of Griffin Lowe for the last 2 or 3 weeks? Is he looking a bit heavy or is... to me, it looks like Kane Corn's talking through his ass again, saying he looks like he's out of shape and not up to AFL standard. I don't think he's had a good couple of weeks, especially in certain moments. How have you seen his form?
Well, yeah, it's funny that no one thought he was overweight after round two when we were winning. So, yeah, look, I mean, you pick out what you want to pick out. And I think Kane's a professional agitator. I think he gets encouraged to do it by his management and the people that pay his bills, and he does it really well. I don't have a huge issue with Griffin Logue. I think he's just, at the moment, as a few of the other boys said, I think the synergy there across the back half just isn't quite there yet, and I don't know how many games Core, Mackay and Logue have played together, all three of them in the same team, but I think it's going to take time. And I'm not too, if him being 2 or 3 kilos overweight was our biggest problem, then you could fix that in a fortnight.
Yeah, no, definitely. Look, to me, it looks like he's in exact same body shape as he was round one and in the preseason. And, yeah, he's had a couple of 4 weeks. There was a couple of moments on Saturday night where he got caught out by trying to play in Petrarca at a stoppage where he lost him and a couple of other incidents as well. But, yeah, in saying that, while we're talking about the back line, Jesse, Aaron Hall, 30 touches for the game, 7 turnovers, 67% disposal efficiency. How did you see his game? There's a lot of talk about him right now as well.
Well, I think his stats kind of don't come as a surprise to anyone, do they? That's kind of Aaron Hall in a nutshell. High disposal, turns it over when he shouldn't. I don't think he's adding anything to the back line. That's my main concern. As the other boys said, in particular, Mark, ideally we'd have Goda and Bergman in the side. And I wouldn't have said that round one about having both of them in there, but they added a completely different element into that team. Hall, he's not as clean by foot as Bergman or Goda is. He may rack them up more, but the back, he's just not adding anything for me in the back line. I'm not saying he's necessarily a bad player. I wouldn't mind seeing him play wing or up the ground potentially. I just don't think that he adds anything to our back line at the moment. As the guys said, we've got a couple injuries in Bergman and Goda, so we can park that for the moment. I don't think the back line is completely optimized. I agree. I think having McDonald, Zeeble, Core, all in the same back line with obviously the two other tools in Logan Mackay makes us a bit slow because Sheasel's not, fast paced. So having those guys as a back six isn't particularly quick. You add Hall in there, sure, but his disposal isn't great. So we're missing a few people. Agreed. I think Archer comes in at some stage and he'll be our best lockdown. You have Bergman and Goda who I think are good disposal, good run. You got Sheasel who can roll into there. So I think that gives us a bit more diversity. But it's just a bit slow at the moment. And, yeah, look, as I said, he high disposals, but what was he doing with it? I didn't watch the game and go, geez, Aaron Hall's having a blinder. I mean, sometimes halfbackers, you don't watch them get 30 and go, geez, they're having a blinder. But I think all I can remember from the weekend is those 7 turnovers. And maybe that's me being a bit harsh on Aaron Hall. As I said, I don't necessarily have an issue with him being in the team. I'm sure he's a great clubman, and I think he adds a little bit of leadership. But I don't necessarily think the back line is the best spot for him at the moment.
It could be that small forward we're crying out for. Who knows?
Well, that's true. If he can tackle, that would be great.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. No. That's true. Oh, to me, I don't know. And this is probably short judgment, but it looked like he's lost a yard of pace. He looked a little bit slower.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, and if he loses that, then that's pretty much, I mean, I've got no doubt, doing four hamstrings in last year, I think it's probably played a part in that. And he can't turn anymore when he runs. Like, he sort of pretty much stopped and then turned around. So he can run a straight line all right, but going sideways, he seems to really struggle. So, yeah, look, that's going to be an interesting development whether the club goes in a different direction to Aaron Hall for the rest of the year. I'm not too sure. I don't want to write him off just yet, but 32 years old, and when you're losing by 15 goals and you're prone to turnovers, like you said, Jesse, then it's not looking great for him at the moment. We'll go to the midfield, Mark, and the loss of LDU was just too much to overcome because we couldn't match their big bodies, could we, of Viney, Oliver and Petrarca. I think Tom Powell had 12 possessions, only one kick for the game, and we struggled to match him, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, Jesse raised a good point that it's sort of frustrating because it's the one area where I've been thinking for the last 2 years, we've got so many riches in there. And then suddenly it felt really bare on Saturday night. Then you've got Greenwood, Phillips and Wardlaw all playing in the VFL, practice game. And it's a bit frustrating. And you've got Taron Thomas on the sidelines. You think about it, you think of Phillips, Taron Thomas and Wardlaw coming in alongside LDU, Simkin, look, Cunners is probably into his last year, and Greenwood's in his last year or two as well. So they've got I still think they've got the makings of a brilliant midfield. I also thought we missed an opportunity to bring Lazaro in on the week. He'd been in great VFL form. If they're not going to bring him in that situation when we've got players out, when he's been in good VFL form, I'm not sure when they're going to play him. I mean, he's contracted for all of next year as well, so at some point, they're going to have to give him a run and see what he can do. And he's quick, and we're lacking a bit of leg speed at the moment. So I'm hoping they give him a chance at some point. But it's going to get hard because LDU will be back soon, and Wardlaw's going to come in, and Phillips will come back in. So then how's Charlie going to get a run? So I don't understand why he didn't play on the weekend. I thought maybe they're trying to build him up and make sure he's ready, but he's been in the best every week in the VFL. He's been emergency, didn't play the week before because he was in emergency and hasn't played. So I'd like to see him given a chance. There's quite a few guys in the VFL. Some are in their last year, some are playing next year, but they're going to have to find out what they're capable of. VFL's not the right place to judge whether people are AFL capable or not. So it'll be a very interesting period for the next, for the rest of the season, really, in terms of who comes in. Clarko's talking about two or three at a time, I think he said. But the midfield's a bit confusing at the moment. I've gone from feeling like the midfield was done, we don't need to add any more players, to wondering whether they may still go after top end with our draft picks this year, whether they may still end up going with one or two good ones. I mean, obviously, Reed, you don't knock someone like that back, but that opportunity came up, but I'm still hoping you don't, Dave. That said, it's not out of the question at the moment. But if he was available, you wouldn't think twice. So it'll be interesting for me. If let's say we're more than likely we're going to be top four pick, are we going to take best available, which is likely to be a midfielder, or will we go for what we might see need in other areas of the ground, like key position players or small forwards and other things? They probably might decide to go another mid based on what we're seeing at the moment.
Yeah, it's interesting. Frank, we got Jesse's thoughts on Cunnington. Mixed reports from a lot of people about his game. What did you think of Cunnington? 27 touches, which is all right on a stat sheet, but geez, when that ball goes on the outside and Melbourne are running, he can't keep up with anyone, can he?
No, Dan. I think you and I have spoken about this before. I mean, he's great at extracting the ball in a contest, mm-hmm. but on the spread, especially against a side like Melbourne that spreads so hard, he's like when you go to those off-lead dog parks and you see that one dog at the back of the pack that has to wait, you know, to catch up. He's a bit like that. He's got no leg speed. He never really did, to be honest. But unfortunately for him now, if it isn't in heavy traffic, he doesn't. I wouldn't say he's useless, but he doesn't offer a lot.
No, he gives up chases too. Like if he's trying to chase down Kozai or Pickett, yeah, he's not going to sprint after him, is he? Like he's just going to stop and watch him pretty much. So, and I had to snicker at the first bounce of the game where he was matched up next to Kozai or Pickett. I was thinking, oh my god, this is going to be a long night already. And it certainly turned out that way. Now, Jesse. There's one player we haven't mentioned is Liam Shields. Now he had 27 touches and kicked a goal. It was very good throughout the night, but should we be prioritising a Chale Lazaro possibly coming in instead of a Liam Shields? I know Liam Shields gets 27 touches and played well, but we still lost by 15 goals. You know, Frank and Mark make a good point in that regard. So should we be prioritising telling Shields, go back to the reserves, work with them, and then just let's give a couple of young blokes a go?
Yeah, look, I'm a bit torn on that one. I completely agree we with the other guys. We should be playing more youth than we are, and I think we're at the point now where Clarko's gone, you know what, yes, we might as well play the kids because we're going to get smacked anyway. So I would like to see Lazaro get an extended run out of it at the wing. You know, he was playing some decent VFL football going into, you know, the last couple of games. So it would be nice to see him get a crack. That said, if you're talking about senior guys who go out of the team, is that Liam Shields? Is that I don't want to pick on them, but Turner and Howe. There's a few other blokes that can go out of the team. So the one thing with Shields is obviously he was brought into the side by Clarko for a reason. He has premiership experience. I think him being out there, he adds a dynamic of leadership that the rest of our list doesn't necessarily have. So having him out there around the other blokes, I don't necessarily mind it. I've always said I don't hate him as being the sub either. So you've kind of got an extra coach on the bench and he can come on and play a role if needed. So I don't mind that. You don't want to be playing him the majority of games this year. You don't want to be playing him every single week. I agree. Him going back to the VFL and working with the kids who aren't necessarily getting a game or aren't at the level yet adds a lot of value. But would he be the first person that I drop from the team if we're looking at senior players? Probably not. There's probably a few other guys who are senior who aren't performing who I'd be knocking out of my side first. So, look, yeah, I don't want him playing every week. I don't want him playing the majority of games. I completely agree. I want to see a Lazaro in there on the wing, give him an extended go at it. But is it at the expense of Shields? I'm not 100% sure yet.
Yeah, it's look. I mean, we might as well go to Alistair Clarkson press conference after the game, Mark. We've got injuries to some senior players who are not going too well. He looks like he wants to get some youth into the team in the coming weeks. Who would you like to see come in, let's say this week? Wardlaw's probably 50-50 with the bruised knee. Outside of him, who else would you like to see come in?
Well, I'm the worst person to ask this because now I'm going to reel off half the VFL side. Because I'd be happy to see them go hard this week and inject, like do something dramatic and create some energy. Because most of us, I'm actually in Melbourne this weekend and I'm, you know, obviously excited to go to the game, but a bit concerned about what could happen because St Kilda's a brutal side that. Not only do they run ferociously hard, they go the man hard and they know their role. So their game plan's locked in. They've got a lot more guys that, you know, in that mid-age group around the 25 to 28 age that is that sort of sweet spot where we really lack. So that's a dangerous game for us, I think. In terms of it, you know, being a blowout. But so that said, because of that, I don't think we've got a lot to lose. So I think Drury is the first one from the VFL side I'd pick in, because we know he's desperate. He's a great runner, great disposal, ferocious tackler. He will give everything. He'll do everything that Turner can do, plus more, I think. So I'd replace Turner with him. I don't like picking out individual players to be dropped, but I think in this instance that makes a lot of sense. Unfortunately, I don't think Bergman or Goethe are available, so they're not an option. If we've got two options in terms of the forward line, because Charlie's not going to be there and Callum Jones won't be there, so we either go small and bring Ford in, or they do something completely, you know, something a bit different and bring Free in, and he'd have to be there to try and smash the packs open and let Larky sort of give some openings for Larky, I think. He'd be almost not a decoy, but he'd certainly be there to purely as a physical presence on that forward line to help out, so Larky doesn't have to go into the ruck when Goldie needs a break. So that you have to think that's almost likely that could happen this week, which would be interesting, given you wouldn't have picked him to be playing in the seniors any time this year when we had X and Calum Coleman-Jones as the backup ruckman with Todd. So that's a big chance of happening this week. Outside of that, yeah, I'm not sure who. Charlie's the other one I'd like to see in, so he'd be half a chance. Perez running out of the back line, given we don't have Bergman or Goethe, would be worth looking at. I don't think Dawson will get a game, but I'd like to see him get a chance at some point. And I definitely think Archer should be looked at. So there's a few there, even with our injuries. But, you know, ideally you'd love Wardlaw, Bergman and Goethe to be available. Of course, they're not.
Frank, it has to be time, doesn't it? If Clarkson says he wants to play some youth, then surely Kane Turner has to be the first senior pro to go. That's pretty fair, isn't it?
I think that's more than fair, Dean. I think, Mark just touched on, I can't five disposals. There must be half a dozen guys at a younger age with more upside that could at least give us five disposals this Sunday. So I just don't see what the upside is to playing him. Interesting note for those of us that stuck around at the game last night, on Saturday night until security kicked us out of the bar, me that is, you would have seen Blake Drury doing run throughs late in the evening with the fitness staff. So
only Drury?
Yes, only Drury. Yeah, he was one doing hard sort of running up and down the ground with a training. Staff sort of monitoring him, so he can't be too far away. To answer your question, Dean, there's a number of others where I'd much prefer to see a 21 or 22 year old get 10 disposals than watch Kane get 3.
It has to happen, Neil. Look, his first month was solid. You know, he did good pressure, and I think even Ricky put in his latest article, he was number one in causing turnovers, but that's dropped completely away. So if he's not bringing that, then what else is he bringing at the end of the day? Jesse, when you were getting smashed early, the last thing you want is another injury to a key forward. And Charlie Comet, he's strung a number of games together this year. I think he's played every game, so he looked like he was getting a run at it. Now he's probably out for the year and has to start again. How devastating is that for a young kid like him?
Oh, it was shattering. I think it was shattering for all of us. You know, that moment, it almost slowed down in time on TV when he landed. It didn't look good at all. And, you know, I'm kind of grateful they didn't show the replay. I think we've learned a fair bit since the Nathan Brown days. It wasn't great. I felt for him. He was in obvious pain. The thing that made me the most emotional was when Jake Lever went over to him to comfort him. And then, you know, he walked back to Stephen May and obviously told him what had happened. And Stephen May grimaced. And you just knew in that moment how bad it was. And it was really sad to see, because he's had such a bad run at it injury-wise. You know, he's the last couple of weeks in particular, he was starting to look like he was getting it. The last 2 weeks, you know, he was kicking a lot of behinds, but he was marking the ball. He was getting his shots. He was looking more. He's looked better than Larky the last 2 weeks prior to the Melbourne game. So it's a massive shame what happened to him. Absolute massive shame. You know, you really feel for him. And you put on top of that, that poor Callum, they've brought Callum Coleman-Jones in that, to play a third tall, and the poor bloke's out with a concussion. So, yeah, our tall stocks have taken a real hit, unfortunately.
Yeah, in saying that, Mark, now we don't have both those boys. I think they said Charlie Conrad out for 10 weeks, which is probably not a bad result, really, when you look at the horrificness of the injury. And CCJ gets the 12-day concussion protocol. So we pushed Logue up forward. He looked okay up there, didn't he?
Yeah, I'd send him back. I mean, for the sake of a short-term fix, I'd rather see him work out what they're trying to do in the back line with the others and gel that in. I mean, St Kilda have played small all year and it's worked fine for them. Larky, it's going to make life very unpleasant for Larky if we do go small and leave him as the only long option. And he's not great in that situation, to be honest. If the ball goes long and Larky's one out against a couple of players, he's going to get intercepted. So I've actually already just talked myself out of that. So they might have to play free this week. They might play forward as well, but I think free's going to have to play one to give Goldie a chop out, but probably more so to protect Larky and give him the option of just at least free being big enough where he's going to get some attention from some of their key defenders. Otherwise, they're just going to swarm Larky, and every time we have to go long, we're going to get killed. Unless they can come up with a game plan where we just do not kick it, you know, we stop the bombing it on Larky's head and keep looking for the short options. But I mean, I'll be happy with either, as long as there's a plan for it. But yeah, it'd be hard for us to go in with Goldie and then Larky is the only backup tall in the forward half. That'd be hard to imagine that happening. But it's a pretty amazing thing to think freezing right in the frame to play an AFL game this week.
It is pretty amazing. I haven't been overly impressed with his VFL form either, so just quietly. Frank, I've got a proposition for you. What about Hugh Greenwood playing as a forward? Now, he played first couple of weeks as a forward that pushed through to the midfield and pinched hit as a ruckman around the ground. Is that a possibility this week?
Yeah, absolutely, Dean. Yeah. Look, they're going to have to try something different. I mean, I was even noodling with the idea of do we move Zeebel forward and bring someone like Bonner in for you know, a bit of added run, and the fact that St Kilda aren't overly tall. But then again, you're left with the problem of Goldstein having to do the bulk of the ruck work. But yeah, Greenwood, look, I think he should be in the side regardless. I think the couple of times he's come on as sub in those games, there's been a noticeable shift in momentum, not to the point dangerous, but you can see he's been able to correct some of the imbalance in the midfield. So if nothing else, I think his value, there's a lot of value in that. Again, my concern would be if they go ahead and play the smalls that we played last week and then add Greenwood, I think we become incredibly slow. So I think there needs to be a few old heads go out, but I wouldn't be disappointed to see Greenwood come in.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting one. Jesse, now we've talked about youth. We want to go down the youth path. Greenwood's 31 years old. Should we look past him and go for a younger player, or do you think he still has a role to play for the rest of the season and possibly future years at the club?
Look, I think he adds a leadership dynamic. Absolutely. I don't think there's a problem with having him at the team if a kid is underperforming and there's not another player, a younger player screaming for, you know, a role in the side. You know, I think he's handy to have around the list. He seems like an ultimate clubman. I think if he gets a full game and he's allowed to play the role that he can play, I think he adds a bit of value. In terms of playing him, you know, as a predominant forward, there's some other things I'd rather do than that. But look, I don't think we completely abandon him. Part of me reckons that if he was playing the Cunnington role and getting the same opportunity that Cunners is, that he'd add maybe a little bit more value. And I hate to say that, but we all know what he's tackling pressure is like. We've seen it at VFL level in the games he's played this year and in AFL in the games that he's played this year. You know, his defensive pressure is fantastic, and that's something we're lacking in the midfield. So there is a piece of me saying that, you know, in terms of that slower inside midfielder, you know, he could add a lot of value if he was given the same opportunity. I don't necessarily want more than one of the older players in the midfield at the same time. You know, you're always, you know, if you're going Cunnington, LDU, Simkin, and you're rotating the kids through, you don't necessarily want to have Greenwood and Cunnington on the same side, like I've always said. Look, he's played a few different roles. He played half forward for a while at the Gold Coast. He can definitely do it, but yeah, it wouldn't be the path I'm going down. I think this week, with the injuries we've got, I'd be giving Ford a crack, really, and going Zerha, Ford, and Larky. I wouldn't be going three personally. I just haven't seen enough of him that screams he deserves an opportunity. That's just my opinion. I'd be going Ford, and with a smaller forward line.
He's no Tom Hawkins, please.
No, he's definitely no Tom Hawkins. But, you know, I was pretty big advocate for Ford at the start of the year, and I thought he started the year well in the practice games and then in the VFL. He hasn't been great the last few weeks, but I think it's worth giving him a chance. He's a younger player. We've seen in the past what he can do. I think we go for a little bit of a different forward line this week. Why not? You know, we've got the talls injured. Go one tall in Larky, put you know, Zerha, Ford around him who are medium size, and then the rest should be smalls. Give it a different shot, because at the moment it wasn't working particularly well with the two keys. It didn't work with the three keys. Try something different.
I like that. And so Archer and Ford both proven that when they go up, they actually play better than
agreed.
They
yeah.
So yeah, I love that idea.
Yeah, Mark, it's not something we've ever really trialed, ever, really. Like, we've always gone at least two tall forwards. Is it worth... Yeah, look, I mean, Richmond in 2018 won a premiership with Jack Riewoldt as their only key forward and a bunch of smalls around him creating havoc with a relentless pressure. Why couldn't we try that?
I would love to, at least for this week, while we've got the chance, because I would say we've played... More often than not, we've had three talls playing. And you can almost include Zerha for a lot of last year playing as the third tall. I know this year he's playing up a lot higher, so it's a lot different. So it's really this year it's been Comben, who I think is more agile. So I've had no issue with the combination of Larky, Comben, and Zerha. I think that long term, I think that'll work. So I think they'll certainly go back to that. But this week, I would love for them to just go small. I'd love to throw Ford in there. And then you've got Zerha, Ford, and Curtis, who are all very good marks for their height. All you have to do is just not bomb it long. Just don't leave Larky long and let them surround Larky and then go anywhere else but that. I think this week, if we're ever going to play Larky as a decoy, it should be this week. Please, God, if we're going to go small, don't bomb it on Larky's head, because it'll take away the opportunity for the others. So... But I think if the players can lower their eyes and just look for players presenting and moving and, you know, running in different directions, I think that would help us long term, because I think that's our biggest problem, is we just keep bombing it. I know you know, between Larky and Comben, they get frustrated with the ball coming in that way themselves. So that's one of the big things I think we're trying to learn at the moment, is the way to bring the ball inside 50. And if they have that mindset going in, well, we don't have tools this week, we can't do that, that might be a perfect way to start introducing it. I agree with you, Dean. I think it would be really exciting.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
What have we got to lose? Really, yeah. What have we got to lose?
Yeah, it's not much too much else at the moment. We can only lose by 15 goals again. So, Frank, there's one other player I want to talk to you about, and Curtis Taylor. I think he's a bit of a frustrating talent at the moment. Is he on the fringes of being out of the team right now? Because I don't think his form's been overly crash hot, but it hasn't been poor enough to probably drop.
Yeah, correct, Dean. I think he's really struggling. He doesn't to really have that spark that he had at times last year. Paul Curtis has been a little bit the same for me too.
Bailey Scott.
Bailey Scott, correct. Another one. Bailey Scott's another one that just seems to be sort of a bit fumbly. I think both of them, Curtis Taylor as well, don't seem to be sure-handed as they were last year. I think he probably gets a reprieve because there's more of an upside to him than some of the others that we spoke about. But I think he's definitely, his form would be concerning probably himself and the team, because I think he plays better than what he is at the moment. And when you're losing by 15 goals, you put a target on your back when you're playing like that. So I think he survives, but I'd like to see more output.
Yeah, I mean, we've got three definite outs this week through injury, by the looks of it. So he probably keeps his spot. You're probably looking at Kane Turner, who probably gets dropped. Maybe Daniel Howe as well. Yeah. So there might be up to five changes really this week. You can't make eight. I wouldn't think anyway. I don't think it's like 1993 or anything like that, where if you lost by 10 goals, you make eight changes to a team. So I think he probably survives. But yeah, we'd like to see more from him, that's for sure. As Jesse's just. Cut out by looks of there. So he's not happy with Daniel Howe going after I mentioned he's going out of the team. So I'll retract that statement for you, Jesse, if you come back on. Just one more thing before I let you boys go. Mark, if anyone else wasn't in, if Clarkson wasn't in charge, would you have enough faith that this is going in the right direction?
No, absolutely not. I'd have none. I mean, I'd be absolutely, I'd be in need of help, I would think. And that's how I felt for the first 24 hours. If it wasn't Clarkson, if we were back in 2022 and that had happened, I'd still be ranting on now about the need for Noble to go and everything else. The difference is now is that the people that understand what Clarkson's doing and explain it are articulate about explaining the game plan and why it's, the younger players are struggling and the group's struggling with it. Talking about especially people like Hodge and Joe Montagna, and Ricky, it gives you faith. It's just like, hold on, this guy's coached four premierships. Just calm down. He knows what he's doing. This is not, he's not, he never said he'd come in and everything would be fine in the first, seven rounds of the season. We've come from 18th with no game plan, and he's got a brand new one. And he introduced aspects of it in the first two rounds that were easy for the players to follow. It got picked off very easily by Mitchell by round three. That means it's a lot harder now. And he's probably made it a lot more complicated to try and combat that. And it's going to take 7 or 8 weeks to get used to that. And once you understand that, it's easy to deal with. But no, to answer your question, if this was last year, I'd be absolutely freaking out. If we'd gone into another year of it and it started happening again, I mean, can you imagine? It would just be devastating. So I think the Clarkson factor is why most supporters, it might take them a couple of days to get over it, but most of them understand. We've just got to be patient, as frustrating as it is, and sooner or later it's about to turn. But yeah, unfortunately, we've made some mistakes in the previous years, but it's not this year's mistakes. That's the difference.
Yeah, what about you, Frank? If anyone else was in charge, let's say we've got a rookie coach like an Adam Uzay, would you be questioning the journey a lot more right now?
Yeah, probably would, Dean. You don't like to see us go. The biggest concern for me, Dean, probably has been that we showed improvement and now we're going backwards. I know there's been a lot of injuries and stuff like that, but that's trajectory is what I'm trying to say of how the season's gone. I think if we had lost our first four and then won two, people would be going, well, this is what we expected. But because we kicked off with a bang, I think people are seeing it as a decline, where I don't think if you had gone through the fixture at the start of the year, too many neutrals would have given us two wins at this point in the year. So, not super concerned. I think this really isn't Clarkson's list yet. I think you'd probably have to give him another draft and then you'd really want to start to see some improvements.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree with that. So well said there, Frank. Mark, did you want to add anything else before I let you go?
No, I'm just hoping for, well, I don't know what I'm hoping for this week.
I'll
take your advice and ignore the scoreboard and look for the, look for some nourishment this week.
Yeah, so thanks, David Noble. I appreciate that. Frank, what about yourself? Anything else before I let you go?
Yeah, there's one thing that I'm not looking forward to, Dean, and that's Mason Wood kicking six off half forward. So if we could avoid that, just to rub further salt into the wounds, that would be great.
I worked with his mother for 4 years. She's a lovely woman. So I'll be happy for Mason. I'm glad he's doing well. But, yeah, I would rather he did kick six this week.
Yeah, I've got no problem with him doing well, Mark, but just at the moment, could the footy gods just give us a break?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, well, he's probably every chance to. He's had a real good year, but I think the second half last week, he's starting to get back to a bit more reality. So, yeah, he's starting to come down with the thud a bit more. So we'll see how we go anyway against the Saints this week. Well, Mark, I appreciate both you boys coming on. Mark, always a pleasure.
Great. Thanks, Dino. Thanks, Frank. Great to see you guys, or speak to you guys, I should say.
Frank, really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, boys. I don't know what happened to Jesse, but, yeah, thanks for coming on the show, Jesse.
So thank you very much to those boys for coming on the show once again. That's it for today's show. Once again, thank you to all you lovely listeners for the likes, retweets, and comments you put on the show. All the ratings, reviews you leave on the podcast platform of your choice. It goes out to more and more supporters, which is important. So I really appreciate you lovely listeners for doing that. You can find the show on all good podcast platforms, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, just to name a few. It's even on Audible if you want to check it out on there. I'll be back tomorrow night. I should be back tomorrow night unless things change drastically. I should have the ladies back on tomorrow night. So yeah, that'll be good. The good thing about those lovely ladies is they'll tell you as it is. So if they're not happy, you'll certainly hear about it. So yeah, no, I look forward to the chat with them. I always enjoy chatting to them and getting a different perspective. And yeah, it's always a lot of fun and a lot of good laughs in trying circumstances. And I'm sure all you lovely listeners really enjoy listening to those lovely ladies as well, in Marnie Cohen and Siobhan Rowe. So hopefully I'll have them both on tomorrow night. Like I said, that's it for tonight. I'll be back tomorrow. And today, I will leave a shout out to Evie at Tired and Strong. Bye for now, and go Roos.